Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, as we continue our preview of each of the 22 NBA teams. We do one a day, leading up to the Bucks and Celtics' first game of the season on July 31st on Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Joining us now is John Johnson from 94 WIP in Philadelphia. John, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
I guess first things first, the Bucks just had their practice facility shut down, awaiting COVID-19 test results as far as who may or may not have it at this point. But they're shut down until they leave for Florida later this week. How have things been going in Philadelphia?
Well, so far with the Sixers, according to what we know, and again, you know, due to all the protocols, we are not allowed to go to the team facility. Everything's done via Zoom or just simple, you know, texting and emailing. From our understanding, from all the individuals that I've spoken to, everything seems to be going well with the Sixers thus far. None of the players tested positive. None had to be quarantined due to exposure to someone who could have had the coronavirus. And, you know, so far everything seems to be on, you know, right on schedule to where they want to be when they depart for Orlando on Thursday.
You know, John, just I want to back all the way up to right before the season ended, and it just seems to be a lot of drama circling around the 76ers. I don't know if that's the Philly way, or is that the way they like to roll, or is there a problem within that locker room with some of their players?
You know, I don't think there's a locker room problem. It's kind of twofold. So when the Sixers went through that lengthy rebuild, which took far longer than anybody had expected, when they finally started to put it together and Joel Embiid was healthy and Ben Simmons was ready to make his, you know, second, you know, going into his second year, and this is the moment, this was kind of pushed forth also by ownership. And ownership made a big deal. This is the moment. Here we go. And due to, you know, what they were saying, combined with the fans waiting for so long, this isn't to give the players a pass. It gave them kind of unfair expectations at a very young age. The players I'm speaking of, Embiid and Simmons. Embiid is 26 now, and Simmons is going to be 24 in, I think, 2 weeks. But it put expectations forth that, you know, and these guys just weren't ready yet. Having said that, you know, when you make the roster changes that they made in the last season or so, going back to, you know, the middle of two seasons ago and then before the stoppage happened and re-signings and letting guys go, you know, you kind of put yourself in a corner financially to where this is the team that they want to compete. And the expectation going into this season was that they would be competing with the Bucks to be one of the, you know, to be the top seed in the East, if not the top two. And due to a multitude of reasons, including roster construction and just lack of professional maturity, they found themselves sitting in the sixth seed.
Yeah, I really want to commend Michael Rubin for what he's done. Him and a lot of athletes, they raised a lot of money for charity. That is truly amazing. I appreciate them doing that. To me, this team goes, Ben Simmons, obviously, and Joel Embiid, but to me, one of the best acquisitions. And now, one of these guys, JJ, one of these guys on the show, like Tobias Harris, one of them don't, but we won't go there. But I think the best acquisition has to be Al Horford, because what he did when he was with the Celtics, you know, tough defense. So having a guy like that in that locker room, I think, can only help.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that Elton Brand had, you know, sought him out and eventually signed him, was to be not just that locker room, that veteran, I've been there and back presence to kind of help the younger guys, but also to kind of tutor Joel Embiid in a sense. You know, Joel is a very fun-loving guy. He's a likable guy, but he severely lacks that professional maturity and the commitment that goes along with that. He can. That's why he has so many roller coasters throughout his career thus far, both on and off the court. And, you know, that was the plan. And, you know, it seemed like they had built a great rapport. Sadly, on the court, you know, it seemed like it was falsely assumed that Al would just fit right in seamlessly because he's been there and back and no problem. And he's been, you know, the square peg trying to fit it into the round hole. He hasn't really meshed well with Joel on the court and with Ben on the court since Ben is unwilling to shoot the ball beyond 10 feet. So as a result, in times that we've had to speak to Brett Brown since they've returned and the build-up to Orlando, Brett hasn't said, but he's certainly implied that on the court, Al's likely going to come off the bench and not be in that starting five.
Talking with John Johnson of 94 WIP in Philadelphia, I saw some comments by Tobias Harris the other day talking about chemistry issues he felt with that basketball team, and maybe now they can get on the right track again going forward. When the season was going on, did you feel the same, that there were some chemistry issues?
Oh, absolutely. Injuries certainly played a part, and the starting five had only played together. The starting five that they wanted to have together had only shared the court a handful of games before the stoppage. You know, Ben had suffered that back injury that was assumed he would be out for the rest of the season. And, well, because of the stoppage, he will be able to return to the court. Yeah, it was a variety of things. And I mentioned a few minutes ago, roster construction has been, you know, on paper it seemed right, but you know, once you put certain guys out on the floor together, it's been a tough. It hasn't been seamless, but let's put it that way. And you know, the good news is some are now seeing this as almost a fresh start because it's the equivalent of an entire off season. So, in theory, you would think they'd come in with a different mindset, as unique a situation as this is.
Right. You're right about the roster construction. Do you feel like now that they have it in place, I mean, you had Jimmy Butler, now Tobias Harris. I mean, do you feel like with the addition and subtraction of some of the guys that they had, that they feel like they have a better unit?
Well, Brett, when you speak to Brett, the head coach, he's always going to have glowing recommendations. And he has stressed endless times throughout this season since their return to the facility that he believes his team is built for the playoffs. The one massive flaw that this team has, and they had you know, going into the season, is they don't have that consistent perimeter threat. It is downplayed so much still to this day how, you know, they never replaced someone like J.J. Redick. For all that he lacked defensively, and it wasn't for a lack of effort, you know, what he brought offensively, it's a lifesaver to an offense who is stagnant. And, you know, they've been hoping Tobias Harris becomes more consistent from beyond the arc. And he's, you know, he's hit or miss. He's hot or cold, depending on the evenings. They're relying on Al Horford to do that more often, which you shouldn't have to rely on Al to be a perimeter threat, you know, more than a handful of times. So as a result, roster construction-wise, you can complain about Tobias versus Jimmy and other things, but not having that consistent perimeter threat, the loss of J.J. Redick, unfortunately, I believe, will continue to haunt this team.
Yeah, how devastating was that Kawhi Leonard shot? I mean, I know we've seen it 2 million, a ton of times. I mean, it was just, it's not going in, it's going in. It just had to be devastating to an ascending team. I mean, you think they're over that? They've moved past it?
I do. I think they have. And yeah, that shot is going down in like the, you know, the record books of Philly disappointments over the years, or upsetting moments, because that's the last memory of Sixers fans and how a season ended, and it will continue to be that way unless they get advanced further in the playoffs. You know, since that point in time, throughout the course of the season, you know, we've spoken to Joel about it and Ben about it, and you know, they remark how it stays in their mind from time to time. And I mean, at a certain point, you know, you move on. And I had spoken to Joel at length about that shot and how everybody saw his reaction on TV. He was sobbing as he left the court and into the locker room, and you know, some would kind of poke fun at that. I liked it. I mean, it showed how much he truly cared about it. So it's something that he's talked about and said that it kind of stays with him because it's a reminder of, you know, of how, you know, how much he loves the game. And I hope with that helps push forth as he's entering his prime years, hopefully, you know, that professional maturity.
I just want to ask you about the Bucks real quick. What do you think about Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks and the cast that they have around him? Because a lot of people here thought that maybe Chris Middleton wasn't the two that they were looking for. Bledsoe is not the three that they were looking for, and they were kind of on demand. But it feels like they've got a good team together. What's your thought on the Milwaukee Bucks, Middleton, and Bledsoe?
Yeah, I did not expect the Bucks to have the season that they had to this point. I mean, so impressive. And Giannis continues to grow as one of the best players in the league. And you know, the team goes as he goes, and the supporting cast has been incredible. What's going to be interesting to see that really Sixers fans are holding out hope on is, you know, with that break and the uniqueness of the situation everybody's going into, it may level out the playing field to some extent. When you have a team like Milwaukee who is just, you know, running the table on everybody in the top seed in the East, you know, does this cool things off? Do they struggle to get continuity when the play gets underway? Because you're playing so few games and you're going from 0 to 100 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. I know Sixers fans are hoping they stumble and the Sixers can take advantage, but boy, Bucks are a heck of a team. I wouldn't bet against them.
There he is, John Johnson, 76ers insider for 94 WIP in Philadelphia. John, thanks so much for coming on, man. Have a good
rest
of your day.
You too, guys.
Take care. There he is, John Johnson. The Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion on growing your home, Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Details now from Adam Schefter about Patrick Mahomes' contract. Stay tuned. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.